Now I'm going to speak for a short time on the second passage that I read this morning about Thomas and how Jesus ministered to Thomas. If you've never read the Bible, can I suggest that you get hold of a copy and read it? Please allow me very briefly to say something about myself. I don't often do this, but you may find it just encouraging to you. I wasn't born in a Christian home. I was actually born in a Hindu home. My parents are Indian. I'm an Indian. They worshipped another religion. And I'd never seen a Bible. But when I was 23 years old, I actually walked into a Christian bookshop and I bought a Bible, rather like this one actually. It had a brown cover and looked rather like this. And I just bought a Bible because I wanted to read the Bible. Somebody had been talking to me about the Bible, and I began reading it, and it changed my life. It absolutely transformed my life. And there are millions of people worldwide who have a very, very similar story. Not born in a Christian home, had nothing to do with the Bible, but something happened in their lives, and they got hold of a Bible, and they read it, and as they read it, their lives were transformed. This is no fairy tale or fiction. This isn't some religious thing. This is a true experience. And I suggest that you get hold of a Bible and read it. And if you read the Bible, I think you'll be surprised, pleasantly surprised, how readable it is and how many good stories there are in the Bible. I want to speak very briefly at the introduction of my talk this morning about one of the stories in the Bible. It's about a man called Joseph, and his story is found in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. When you read the first book of the Bible, you meet this man Joseph, and his story is a very remarkable story. He was in this home with his father and his mother and his brothers, and by and large it was a happy home. There was problems there, but it was a happy home, and his father loved him. He was his father's favorite. And his father poured his love upon him. And his father bought him things, bought him presents, because his father loved him so much. But then something terrible happened to Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery. And he was taken from his home, this place where he was surrounded by love. And he knew his parents, and he was loved of them and was comfortable there. He was taken from his home and went to a foreign country, a country where he knew nobody, where everybody was against him. And he was a slave in that country. And he ended up in prison on a false charge in that country. But then his life was transformed completely. So having come from his father's house and gone downhill, as it were, to a strange land where people hated him and charged him with rape and put him in prison, having gone down to that experience, something really remarkable happened to him, and he found himself the prime minister of Egypt, seated at the right hand of the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. Now, when he became prime minister, he was shaped by all those experiences that he had been through. Because that is how we are as human beings. Human beings are shaped by our history, the events that happened in our lives, the place where we were born, and the people who were around us, our family, our friends, the school we went to. All these things shape us as human beings. So you are today the product of your past. I know your DNA has a part to play in it, but your past has so much to play a part to play in it to shape you who you are. And Joseph, like everybody else, was shaped by his past. He knew what it was like to be in a home loved by his father. He knew what it was like to leave that home and to go and work as a slave, To be owned by somebody as a slave. He knew what that felt like. He knew what it felt like to be lonely because he was away from his people in a foreign country. He knew what that felt like to be lonely, all alone. He knew what it felt like to be unjustly charged, to be taken to court on an unjust charge. He knew what it was like to be thrown into prison. He knew what it was like to go without, to go hungry, to have none of the comforts of life. He knew all of this. And then through all these experiences, he passes through all of them and he becomes prime minister. And he now has power in this country. And while he was prime minister, the country went through a famine, 7 years of no rain, no food growing, famine in the land. And the people of the country came to him and they said, look, we have no food. There is famine in the land. No rain has come and we're going without. We're starving. Our wives, our children, they're starving. Now, Joseph was a man shaped by his past. And Joseph had a compassionate heart. His heart was filled with mercy, with pity, with compassion, with kindness. Because you see, he had been through times in the past when he had been without food. He had been through times in the past when he had been through all this turmoil and all this difficulty. So when people came to him, he didn't reject them and send them away. He didn't deal with them harshly. He could relate to them. He could enter into their experience. And he could say, I know what it feels like. You are telling me that you have no food. I know what it feels like to be without food. I was a slave. And there were times when I went without food. I was in prison. And there were the times when I was without food. And you're anxious about your life. I know what that feels like. I was a slave and I was anxious about my life. A charge of rape had been brought against me. And my life was being threatened. I know what it's like to have your life under threat. And I was in prison. In a strange land, all on my own. None of my people around me, no family, no tribes, were nothing. I know what that feels like. So when people came to him and pleaded their poverty and their case, he had mercy upon them. His heart was moved with pity. And he did all he could to help them. He relieved them of their hunger and of their trials. Now, I've given you on Easter Sunday a long introduction to Joseph. Why? Because when we look at Joseph, we are seeing something of Jesus. This is why the story of Joseph is in the Bible. It is to teach us about Jesus. And the Bible is saying to us, when you look at Joseph's life, you are looking at what happened to Jesus. Because there was Joseph in his father's house, loved by his father. And his father poured love upon him. And the Lord Jesus Christ was in heaven. And his father loved him. And his father poured his love upon him. And then there came a day when Joseph left his father's home and went to a foreign land, to a land where he was a stranger. And he wasn't received well. He was made a slave. And then he was charged with a crime and thrown into prison. And he underwent all these difficulties. And the Bible tells us there came a day when Jesus left heaven and came to this earth. And the earth didn't receive him. People in this world didn't receive him. You read the Bible about how Jesus was received. He wasn't universally liked. Most people rejected him. A few accepted him. Most rejected him. And Jesus went through life here on earth. Jesus knew what sickness is. He had sickness himself. Jesus knew what hunger is. He had been hungry himself. Jesus knew what thirst is. There's a passage in the Bible where he says to a woman, please give me some water, I'm thirsty. Now this wasn't pretense. He was thirsty. Jesus knew what it was like to have death in the family. Jesus knew what it was like to have economic hardship. He knew what it was like to have anxiety and difficulties in life. He went through every experience that we human beings go through. He lived a human life here on earth. And then he was crucified. And on the third day he rose again from the dead. Now I want you to understand this. This is absolutely crucial. The risen Lord Jesus Christ is fully human. He is as human as you and I are human. Yes, he's fully God. I'm not denying that. But he is fully human. He is a man. And all the experiences that he went through here on earth shaped him. The human risen Jesus Christ was shaped by his experiences here on earth. And he's seated today at the right hand of the Father, fully human, in a human body. You know how we sometimes ask this question, is there anybody out there? The answer is yes. I know this sounds truly remarkable. I fully appreciate it. This sounds really odd. But it is true that Jesus Christ in his human body, a resurrection body, but a human body, a body that could be felt, a body that could be touched, a body that could be seen. In his human body, he ascended into heaven. And somewhere out there, I have no idea where, there is a man in a human body, a resurrection body, seated at the right hand of God the Father. And that man who is seated there at the right hand of the Father is the man who lived here on earth and went through all the trials and difficulties and problems and anxieties and worries of life here on earth. And those things shaped his character, his human character. His human heart was shaped by all the experiences he went through. So you see, like Joseph, when people, hungry people, came to Joseph, Joseph couldn't send them away. He knew what hunger felt like. When people whose lives were totally uncertain came to Joseph, Joseph couldn't send them away. His heart was filled with sympathy because he'd been through all of that. And Jesus, our great high priest, seated at the right hand of the Father, is fully human, and his humanity was shaped by everything that he went through here on earth. And this is the wonder, this is why we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're asking yourself, why are all these Christians so crazy about the resurrection? Why are we singing resurrection hymns? Why is it that we're so joyful on Resurrection Day? It's because the resurrection means that there is in heaven a man who knows what we are going through today and who sympathizes with us when we come to him and we say to him, I'm in trouble here. He doesn't say, look, I don't know what this is all about. You're talking about death. I don't know what death is all about. You're talking about hunger, poverty, anxiety. I have no idea what this is about. He doesn't say that. He was shaped. His humanity was shaped by all his experiences here on earth. This is not just my opinion. This is the teaching of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4. I'm summarizing. And this is the wonder of our Christian faith. We have in heaven a man who understands us, who knows what we are going through, who sympathizes and who ministers to us. Now, after that long introduction, I'm going to speak briefly on this passage. And in this passage, John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29, we read about this man Doubting Thomas. Well, it's called Doubting Thomas in history. It's not called that in the Bible. But we read about this man called Thomas. And you remember what we read. It says there that Thomas came to the other disciples, and the other disciples were saying, Jesus is risen. He's now a resurrected Savior. And he's there in his body, a resurrected body. And we've seen him. And Thomas says, now wait a minute. When they say to him, we have seen the Lord, Thomas says, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Very strong statement. Very strong statement, you see. He's not saying, I'm willing to be persuaded by argument. He's not saying, look, if you reason with me, I'm willing to listen. I'm not willing to listen to any of your arguments, he says. unless I see the risen Jesus with my own eyes, he says, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of his nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. And this morning I'm making this point simply from this passage, and I'm saying the risen Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father today, ministers to his people when their faith is weak. Because Thomas's faith was weak, and Jesus ministers to him. Just want to say two things very briefly this morning. I promise you I'm not going to go on for long, but I just want to say two things from this passage. The first thing I want to say from this passage is this: God's people often go through times when their faith is weak. God's people often go through times when their faith is weak. I would be a hypocrite and a liar if I stood here before you and I said to you, my faith has never been in a crisis. I would be a hypocrite and a liar. I would be a hypocrite and a liar if I say to you, I have never doubted the existence of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and my place in heaven. I'd be a liar if I said that. And any Christian who says that, I really believe, is not telling the truth. Every Christian, I've been a pastor 30 years now, and I've ministered to people in various countries, in various situations. I don't know of a Christian who hasn't gone through a crisis in faith. Events happen in our lives. Our loved ones die. We have uncertainty at work. We face illness, serious illness, terminal illness. Our loved ones are given a diagnosis of serious illness. Well, we're only human beings. And human beings doubt. And there is no sin in this. You mustn't think to yourself, if I doubt the love of God, I've fallen into the worst of sins. You mustn't think to yourself, if I doubt that God cares for me, that there is a God in heaven who actually loves me, if I entertain such doubts, oh, I'm the worst person in the universe. You join a very, very large company. Christians often go through times when their faith is weak. Thomas went through that. And here he is saying to these others, he won't take their word for it. And he says, now look, you are saying to me you've seen the Lord. Well, I want to see him. And he was going through this period of weakness in his faith. Do not condemn yourself. Now, you don't remain in that situation, but do not condemn yourself and don't say, well, I'm the only one. Everybody else around me seems to have the strongest faith. Don't believe that. We all have periods when our faith is shaken. We all have periods when our faith is weak. We all have periods when we struggle with our faith. That is the nature of the Christian faith. So that's the first thing I wanted to say this morning. God's people often go through times when their faith is weak. But I want to say a second thing this morning. And I want to tell you this, that Christ graciously and lovingly ministers to us at times like this. God does not get angry with people who are asking questions. God is not furious at us when we're doubting him. Now, if we continue to doubt and continue to doubt and we refuse to seek answers, then there's something wrong. But the person who goes through a crisis of faith, the person, I just don't know if God does love me. I don't know if he really does care for me. I'm having such a difficult time. I don't know if he answers my prayer. I don't even know if he hears my prayer. Does he care for me? Does he know I exist? Those things happen to all of us. And here in this passage, we have this beautiful picture of the risen Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection body, in his glory, ministering to one of his people who had huge doubts. And you notice that when Jesus comes to them, I love this whole passage because of the way Jesus ministers to this person. It says that 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. They were in this room and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came and stood among them. Now, what are the first words that Jesus spoke when he came among his disciples and there was Thomas? Does he say, "Thomas, you know, I'm furious with you. What on earth are you doing? You're one of my followers. And I've been teaching you about my death and my resurrection. I've told you about all these things, Thomas. What on earth is all this that you're talking about?" He doesn't say that. Do you notice his first words? He said, "Peace be with you." It's a kind, compassionate, loving ministry to a needy people. Because that is the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus is not filled with anger, with frustration, with disappointment, with bitterness. He's not always demanding, do more, believe more." The heart of Jesus is filled with love and mercy and compassion and grace. And he comes to his needy people and he says, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." It's gentle, compassionate ministry to a man whose faith is weak. Praise God for a gracious Savior. Praise God for a Savior who knows what it's like to live on this earth. Praise God for a Savior who knows what it's like to go through all the trials, difficulties and turmoil of this world and what it feels like to have illness and anxiety and trials. He comes alongside us. He shows us compassion and mercy and grace and he ministers to us. This is our risen Savior. Christ, the risen Savior, ministers to his people when their faith is weak. Well, praise God for our risen Savior.